Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is a bonus episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Now, as ever, let's begin by banging these bongos.
Yeah, right. Crazy.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this bonus episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Well, today I'm going to take you to meet a group of, well, people. I don't really know how to describe them. In my eyes, they've created their own little sort of Bermuda Triangle of art, science and electronics. I discovered them during lockdown and watching their video clips on both Instagram and their website. I was mesmerised by not only their beauty, but just how simple they made the absolute complex. Well, the group I'm talking about is Kailab, K-A-I-L-A-B. They make electronic installations that sort of echo the environment. I mean, we know they're electronic, but they are so perfectly organic. On Thursday, the 19th of May until the 28th of May, they're at Espacio Gallery in Bethnal Green. And not only is there a live exhibition of the visual work, throughout that week, there'll be three live performances. And because of the nature of this exhibition, visitor numbers have to be controlled, so you have to book your ticket. For this, you'll have to go to their website, which is kailaboratory.com, or go over to their Instagram profile, which is kai.lab_. This is an absolutely fascinating episode. While you're listening to it, if you're able, go over to their website or Instagram profile, just to see the sheer quality of the work we're talking about. So for a much clearer understanding of Kailab and their work, please come and join me over Zoom as I spoke to Sean from Kailab. And what's that hanging behind you? Is that a work in progress?
So this is the lighting rig that goes above this sculpture here.
Wow.
So this is half of the plinth that will go into the show. And basically these little tiny flower things are these clicking devices. Maybe I can grab one for you. So if you can see that there, they're like these little flowers and they have a circuit board underneath.
Oh, it's almost scary.
What do you mean?
It's like the nature of the future.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? A little bit like dystopian sort of manufactured nature, but we're not trying to go down that route. It's not the intention.
Seeing as this is audio and we've already pressed record, could you just describe what that is you have in your hand?
Yeah, sure. So these are these modular devices that we call clickers, and they're a sort of a brass sculptural form with integrated electronics. So they're made up of like a brass framework, it's a printed circuit board integrated into that framework, and an LED and a sensor, and then the craft component of this piece is a piece of watercolor paper, which is used as a kind of resonator to emit clicking sounds.
Wow.
So each of these modular devices, it has a little, it's got a programmed behavior, and the behavior is just to click at a rate that's proportional to how much light it sees.
Wow.
And that's it basically. But when you have a lot of them, you get these really interesting sort of sound patterns. So it's like lots of things repeating clicking cycles, but all out of sync.
And those lights behind you, are they set at different heights?
Yeah, exactly. So
each flower, if you like, would get a different variation of light.
Yeah, exactly. So the lights are set up to sort of create different zones of environmental experience, sort of, for the devices. And the lights are also programmed to change in brightness over time. So there's a sort of sequence.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very relaxing to watch, actually. Like, yeah, we can show you when the...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I should say that I'm with Sean, who's, and you're the creative director.
Yeah.
Of Kai Laboratories.
Yeah.
So I have 7 questions that I ask each artist for this podcast. And the first being, how would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
I would say what we do is create sort of scientifically inspired works or naturally inspired works that use sort of engineering methods to present natural phenomena, basically. So both Ruby and I come from sort of science and technology background. My background is in robotics engineering. Ruby comes from a chemistry background, and we're both very inspired by the natural world and how things actually work fundamentally, sort of like, you know, taking a look at a thing and zooming in on it right to the nth degree. I think the practice is about like zooming in on these things and trying to understand how they work, and then creating a representation of that artistically. Brilliant. And trying to present it like in a tangible, beautiful way.
And what's your background?
So I studied, it's called mechatronics engineering. It's mechanical and electrical engineering sort of combined. And I guess most graduates from that would go and work in something like, automation systems control,
or yeah,
something to do with robots, basically. And then I took a bit of a pivot.
And you went into the art world.
Yeah, so I've been working for like 5 years now, I think, as a technology consultant for other artists. So like helping out artists with technological problems of pieces that they're trying to make. But also on the side, trying to develop this independent creative
practice. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So if there's an artist who wanted to incorporate that kind of work, you would go and make it happen for them.
Yeah. Yes. Sort of facilitate, I guess, like, you know, sit in all the initial conversations where they're like, we want this. And you're like, yeah, we can do it, but it will have to be like this or something, you know, and then go from there to developing the reality of the thing.
And was you always, did you always have art in the background? Did you always want to do what is now Kai Laboratories?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely like a, I think it's an interesting thing when you're a facilitator on arts projects. Like, you often sit in the background, you know, on the opening days or whatever, and you're like, oh, damn, it'd be really nice to do your own thing, sort of.
And did you always have art in home growing up?
Yeah. So both my parents are professional musicians. So my dad's he's a composer and a piano player, and my mum's a performance pianist. She does lots of concert stuff. So I guess I grew up around the music crowd, but also lots of mum and dad's friends are like sort of artist, you know, the artist crew. So it was fun to be exposed to that, I think, from a young age.
Well, I've met several people in the past who do I was going to say similar to what you do, but I've never met anyone that does anything like you do. But with a similar sort of background, and they always started by just taking things apart when they was a child, taking their toys apart, seeing how they worked, putting them back together.
Yeah, no, I definitely did a bit of taking apart, not so much putting back together. but also a lot of like I don't know, Lego and building things with
McCullough. And pianos. So where did your first interest in art come from? Where did your first idea of combining what you do along with art come from? Did it come from just facilitating?
No, it came a little bit before that when I guess growing up in Australia, I think it's interesting. There's like a little bit of a disconnect maybe between the European art scene or American art scene and the Australian art scene. It feels like I was exposed to a lot of the kinetic sculpture stuff through just internet videos, basically. And I remember, when I was in high school, I saw a few of these clips of like people basically applying sort of engineering into these really complicated kinetic sculptures. People like Theo Jansson, the guy who makes the Strand Beast, you know, this thing that crawls along.
Of course.
I would watch that and just be like, oh my God, this can be your job. Like what? so beautiful. It's so cool. So I think it was earlier on, but then I guess going through school and uni, I didn't really know how to get into that, like how to approach that. And sort of through random coincidence in my final year of uni, there was a connection between me and a British artist. And that sort of introduced me to this world of technology facilitating.
Was that a specific British artist?
Yes, it's this sort of sound artist, Nick Ryan. He does lots of really amazing work with sound works, but also he does sculptural works and lots of interaction sort of pieces and stuff like that. He was working on a project with the beer brand James Bogue in Tassie. And they needed some help building this robotic instrument that converted weather patterns into a composition.
Wow.
So basically this guy, David Cranmer in the UK, built this machine with Nick, and they had to ship it to Tassie, but it was, you know, obviously couldn't be shipped in one piece because it's a huge thing. And so they sent it over and tried to find some help on the ground in Tassie. And I was in Melbourne at the time, and there was a link between my lecturer of robotics and a company that was running the show.
Wow.
I basically came and built this thing there. And then
brilliant.
I met these guys and was like, wow, this is awesome.
When was that?
I think that was 2015, I reckon.
So 7 years later, you're sitting in East London.
Yeah.
What was the point between now and then?
I finished my studies in Australia and in the end of 2015. And then I took 2016 as a kind of year to explore and discover.
Yeah.
I came across to Europe and I did a sort of backpacking, like traveling around sort of thing with no goals really. But there was one pretty clear, like, trajectory. I think in every city I went to the Contemporary Art Museum and just looked at all the works. And you know, in Berlin I found like lots of amazing stuff, and in Krakow and Poland, and like there was just so much inspiration there. And actually another linking point I think was I did some volunteering at this museum in Belgium called the Verbeke Foundation, and coincidentally, when I was there, Theo Jansson was putting on an exhibition.
Oh, nice.
And so I helped him set up his machines.
Wow.
And it was actually a kinetic show with Theo Jansson and this Dutch artist, Zora Feigl. And both of them are amazing, like, inspirations for me. So I think there was that link there. But then I went to visit Nick and the crew in London. Yeah, I think that was like
us. And then that just sealed it.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like London was a really kind of a good space to be in, the technology art sort of fusion space. Like there are quite a few studios here that are doing things that fuse the two and are able to do it at a bit more of a like viable scale.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, they have spaces where they can work in, they can pay themselves actually as like, that can be their full-time job rather than doing stuff on the side.
And yeah.
Yeah. So I think London made sense there.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. And how long has Kyle Laboratories been going?
So it's about three and a half years now, I think. Yeah. We started out just like, you know, just really trying to do small things and, you know, record little videos of them and put them on the internet and stuff like that.
And was this you and Ruby?
This is me, Ruby, and our third kind of co-founder, Marguerite.
When Kyle Laboratory started, was you creating work to put in an exhibition, or was it bringing all your ideas to fruition that you'd had previously?
I would say initially there was no concept of like formal showings of stuff.
Yeah.
It was more like experiments, you know. I guess this is what the lab thing is about. It's like, you know, initially you've got this concept and you want to see if it's going to work, and you do experiments, I guess, to see if it's got legs, you know, if it's interesting to watch, if it like creates a cool feeling or whatever. So at the start it was like, here's like heaps of ideas, let's brainstorm some of them, see if there's things that are, you know, practically and financially possible to prototype. And at that time we were working out of like a shared studio space, also in East London. And yeah, I think it's interesting, like Kylab has many faces, which is confusing for people sometimes when they hear about it. You know, we try to help other artists, we're trying to do this thing for the show, but also there's definitely like a emphasis on just like, yeah, trying to do raw experiments and show them as almost video clips, like yeah.
You are doing sort of experiments within the science, but you are just laying on the aesthetic side as well, aren't you? And I've got to say, when I was looking at your work both on social media and on your website, but the beauty in how you produce your work and how you show your work is absolutely beautiful. You know, because a lot of your clips that you put up, you will be sort of interacting with it and just seeing the difference in the sound, the light. And it's beautifully shown. Your photographs and videos are beautiful.
It's something we really like strive to get right, I think. I don't know if you've ever seen this TV series from the BBC, Look Around You. It's a spoof of science.
No, I haven't, no.
But it's you should take a look. It's a big inspiration for us. It's like lots of the clips they have of the science experiments are like really, really like nice kind of shots. Like it's almost Wes Anderson science kind of vibe. You always use a little pencil to like show the thing that's happening, you know. You know, some of the things that happen in the show, like obviously like ridiculous. Like, yeah, you should check it out. I think it's just like an aesthetic, like inspiration for some of the video like takes, you know, especially with maybe you were referring to the mechanisms that we made a couple of years back. There's lots of close-up shots with hands kind of doing things and stuff.
Amazing.
Yeah, that sort of aesthetic is definitely a look around you vibe.
Which piece that you've created has got the strongest emotional connection?
Oh, that's a tough question. So we have been working on this piece, Honami, for a while now. And I think maybe that's the one. It's basically it's an attempt to capture the beauty of plant objects blowing in the wind. So this movement of like grass or trees or whatever when they're exposed to wind is like this. I mean, I find it really, really relaxing. It's like kind of fundamental to humans, even. Like you go and sit in the forest and you see the swaying of trees or like the moving of little things. I could sit around for days just looking.
Oh, I'm with you there.
Yeah, it's so nice. And so with Honami, it's like, I guess, a sculptural attempt to capture that motion and try to bring it down to its fundamental points. So in the latest version for the show, it's literally just 10 of these pendulums that swing. So they're representing blades of grass.
They're not triangular, are they?
So the new version is a much kind of more minimal design. It's just like a stick, basically.
Okay, because yeah. I know there was one on your page or on your site that was triangular, and that was laying. Was that a previous?
So that was the first actually edition of it. And it's kind of evolved over time. Like after that, we tried to do a version that you could hang on your wall.
Wow.
And then I tried to make a version that was using little electromagnets rather than motors, because the other ones use electric motors, stepper motors. And then this final one is, I think the other ones, it was almost there, but you could tell that it was a robot still. You could see the slight like jitters, and you were like, oh, this is, I get what it's trying to do, but it's not quite the, you know, the real thing. And this one that we've made now, we've sort of done this thing where we disconnected the motor from the pivoting stick with a spring. And so the spring allows any sort of slight vibrations from the motor to be filtered out mechanically. And it actually looks really smooth. Like it's a lot.
And how many are there?
So there'll be 10 in the show in a row. Yeah, I can show you the prototype at the moment.
Oh,
so these are the pendulums. And that's Ruby.
Hello, Ruby. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh man, it's stunning.
And so the design is this. You can see these are the springs.
Ah, I was. That's what you've got a close up of that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Watching those springs stretch and come back, and that's the thing. It's so mesmerizing, and it's still pleasing just watching it do that.
It's kind of funny, isn't it? It's just really
amazing.
Like,
it's absolutely engaging. Beautiful work. Well, you've mentioned a show that you have got coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you tell us where it is, what it is?
So the show is it's kind of like a combination of a bunch of works that we've been putting together for the last, or the since we've been together, actually. I guess it's like 2.5 years of work maybe combined. It's opening on the 19th of May at Espacio Gallery in Bethnal Green, and the show is called Phases. And so all the pieces have this kind of this similar theme where they're exhibiting patterns that emerge from phasing behavior. So like, you know, if you have two things that are spinning at slightly different rates, they are said to come in and out of phase at certain times when they meet up in phase. Yeah. So the phase is like the angular difference between the kind of oscillating cycle. And so like with Honami, the pattern that emerges, the wave patterns that you see in a windblown field of grass, the wave emerges because you see this like constant phase shift between each of the blades tipping down. Like as the gust goes through, you see one blade moving and then the next blade moving and then the next blade. So there's kind of this time delay in this. That's the phase between the grass. Or for the clickers, the devices, they are all operating on cycles, but they're all out of phase by a bit. And so that's more like chaotic phase pattern. So the show will have five pieces in it. Each of the pieces has some sort of like relation to this like idea of looking at cyclical systems and coincidental phase alignment. And there's some moving sculpture, some sound sculpture, and some light artworks as well.
And how long is it on for?
It's on for a couple of weeks. It's just from the 19th and then until the following weekend. Come along. We'll have all this information on our Instagram and website and stuff on how to get in.
When I was looking at your work, what did confuse me is the fact that it looked so organic, but I knew it was mechanical. It did just look like nature.
Along with the sculptural kind of pieces, we're putting on some musical performances. So there'll be three of these performances throughout the 2-week duration, and it will be some composition pieces that are like composed with the theme phases as well. So it's kind of curated to fit with the ideas in the show. And so the composition is by myself and Aliata Fundengos. She's a violinist, an amazing violinist. And we are basically putting on a show that's violin accompanied with a 12-channel audio piece of music. So there's 12 speakers dotted around the room, and it's going to be a kind of immersive audio experience. Wow. So that should be really fun as well.
So that would you have one of those on the private view, I presume, and then two other throughout the...
They're all going to be quite like quite small events, I think, because we want to host it in the downstairs space in the gallery. So it's like very, very intimate. So there won't be one on the private view, but there'll be one in the first weekend and I think the second weekend and the Thursday of that second week as well.
Well, I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah, you should come around.
Possibly not on the private view, but it's a show that I really don't want to miss.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think that it's going to be better to try to go when there's not people there, because the gallery's, you know, quite a small space, and some of the works you really want to sit there and listen to them for a while, and it will be nice to have like no one talking in the background, you know.
Yeah, that's the ideal that we all look for. That's not gonna happen, no doubt. So it's on from the 19th of May and it's on for 2 weeks.
Yeah exactly,
on the Spazio Gallery at Bethnal Green Road.
I think we're gonna do like time slot booking, so yeah, we'll try to try to keep the numbers in the gallery like sort of
just to keep a constant flow.
Yeah, so obviously on our website there'll be the information on the way to book the tickets and stuff. So yeah,
well, how can people see your work if they're not able to come to the show? How can they see it, be it on your website or Instagram?
I think the best way to see it is, if you couldn't come along to the show, is through the website documentation. So we'll do We have already filmed a bunch of the pieces here in the studio, and we'll do another filming session in space, and we'll do a production basically of like each of the pieces in video form online.
Brilliant.
On social media, we're kai.lab_.
Just to make it complicated.
And on the internet, our website is just www.kailaboratory.com.
And Kai is K-A-I.
K-A-I.
Brilliant. Exactly. Okay, so it's been bloody fascinating. I absolutely love what it is you guys are doing.
Thank you so much.
And as I say, you can just go into your website and get lost for hours just bouncing around it. So, yeah, I'll look forward to coming down to your show. Yeah, Sean, thank you very much for your time. As I say, I probably won't be there on the opening, but I'm definitely going to go to the show while it's on.
Yeah, great to chat, and looking forward to seeing you there.
I'll speak to you soon.
Catch you later.
See you later on, mate. If you've got an exhibition or any other creative project within the arts, or even just want to promote your own artwork, you could do that in podcast form, similar to the one you've just listened to. They start at a convenient price point that is comfortable for any artist working on a budget. This podcast itself is created by working artists, and we know how important that is. So to find out more information, you can email us on ministryofartsorg@gmail.com or on Instagram at ministryofartsorg. Ta-da!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.